Martha, Nathan went home, you know. He did.
Nathan went home sick. Yeah. Okay, we're back. Nathan Shinagawa has cashed it in. He went home sick. So we're down to 13. All right, we are up to my report on, you know what? He knew something, but... All right. I want to just, first I want to say there should be a card going around. There was a death in the family for Commissioner Mark, so I hope that card has gone around and okay, see it here. Okay. All right, well, it's too bad Nathan left because we have a little treat for a couple legislators. Would Pam and Jim come up, please? Come on up here. Certificate of Appreciation awarded to James P. Dennis in recognition of 5 years of outstanding service to Tompkins County.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years now. Good job. Thank you.
And Pamela Maxey in recognition of 5 years. All right, and then Nathan Shinagawa will have to just get his in his mailbox. But okay, this is for Nathan. And then there's this other one that has two seals on it. And it has double digits on the years. Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Frank P. Proto in recognition of 25 years.
Oh, how many was that? How many?
1985 to 2010, Frank was a boy when he was elected.
I'm still a boy. I was a lot younger as a boy.
Congratulations.
That's fantastic.
Very nice. Thanks.
Now, in May, we will have we always have our dinner for the 25-year club. Frank, you'll get another certificate then, but I ask that we have one for tonight as well. And yes, Jim?
I am going to be one of the members on the talking in that 25-year meeting, and so I would ask all of you to send me your fondest memories of Frank.
Sounds
and
good.
I'll try to highlight them.
We're not going through those top 10 again, are we?
Well, it's
going to
be the top 25.
And I just want to just be very quick. I'm just aware of things that you all are doing out there, above and beyond regular committee work, to be out in the community, to doing things in all sorts of ways to represent your constituents and work for your constituents. So I just want to take a personal note and say, and as soon as I list anybody, I'll forget somebody, or there's somebody doing extra stuff I don't know about. So I just want to say I've been aware lately of things that all of you, all 14 of you, have been doing out there in the community truly in the spirit of public service. And I really appreciate it. I really thank you. I think you're all serving your constituents and the whole county very well. I appreciate that. So, thank you. That's my report. County Administrator.
It's 15 of us.
15. Thank you.
I don't think you left anyone out, Martha.
Good. County Administrator's report.
Thanks, Martha. I realize I sound like a broken record. It seems like every time I come to you, I talk about either budgets or the Health Coalition, and I think in both cases it's because they're consuming tasks and they're difficult tasks. I'm only going to talk tonight about the Health Coalition because we'll be talking next week a lot about budgets. But I just want to give you an update on the status of the coalition. I think the last time I was here I talked about how there was still an issue about labor participation and things kind of hinged on the outcome of that. That is still our issue that we're dealing with. I think everyone here knows that over the past several months since December, encouraged by the state insurance department, we've been working with the local unions on a local solution to the question of labor participation, and have been encouraged, again, by the state to do that. and have developed a plan that was approved by the consortium board some time ago and discussed with you also, that would have a committee created where any proposed changes in the benefit plan design or structure would be looked at in detail by the committee. The committee would consist of all the bargaining units in the county who are in the plan, all the municipalities in the plan, chaired by a union member, and again intended to make sure that a bright light was cast on any proposed change to the benefit plan, to make sure there were, if there were issues that were spotted, they could be detected, discussed, and resolved, and recommendations and findings made to the board of directors. So one step was the creation of the committee. The second step was to have that committee chair, who by rights would be a union representative, take a voting seat on the board of directors, and that would be the labor participation in terms of voting rights on the board. And that's a solution that we've worked hard with. Again, local unions have helped architect that solution, have had a number of discussions, and it's been adopted basically by the consortium board as the approach they'd like to take. That's been moving along. There was a conference call last week that was offered by the state insurance department at the request of both the consortium and the unions, where the insurance department was to give guidance to the unions on this. And I'm afraid it represented maybe if not a step backwards, then another element of uncertainty in an issue that has been characterized by uncertainty for months. And basically, the insurance department suggested to the unions that they need to figure out kind of where they stand on the issue of how many votes might be on the board, and to come back with a unified position on that. So that's where the issue is today. The unions are making an effort to come together early next week to talk about that, to develop a position, to bring that position back. We are encouraging the unions to look first at the solution that's already on the table that we worked hard with them to prepare over the last several months. But again, it is another wrinkle in a situation that we've tried very hard to iron out over the past several months. I'll keep you posted on where things go, and we'll have much more clarity in terms of union positions, I think, the middle or latter part of next week. I think that's the only issue I had on my agenda for tonight.
Thank you, Joe. And I think municipalities are being asked to pass a resolution.
They are, which assumes that we will be able to work these wrinkles out and have a plan in place soon. I mean, our goal is being first April 1st and now May 1st. And assuming that this last hurdle can be taken care of, we want to make a hasty path to the plan. So the municipalities were being asked to have that approved. And in fact, I think there is legislation on government operations agenda for this week will take up that issue.
So, for example, if you go to your municipal boards this month, this may well, I know it's on the Town of Dryden agenda for tomorrow night, so that's something that may come up. We hope you can help support that. And again, it costs us $20,000 a month.
That's correct.
Costs other municipalities different amounts as well. So.
Yeah. And I will say, again, I think our unions have worked with us in good faith. We're all trying to react to mixed signals that have been sent to us for months now from the insurance department, and just trying to adjust to that as those changes occur. So I don't want to create any ill will. I think there's good faith going on here, but it is taking a lot longer and is a lot more complex than any of us thought about this particular issue.
Frank.
Joe, Martha answered one question. It's costing the county approximately
$20,000.
Two questions. What do you think it's costing our employees? Because
that's an excellent question, Frank. Because they're contributing to that premium, and I don't have their out of pocket. But this is where we have common ground with the unions. They appreciate that, and their members are paying higher costs right now because we haven't been able to jump into the consortium, as are retirees paying a higher amount.
That's
why we are eager to get into the new plan to pass along those savings.
Okay, and the retreat next Tuesday?
It's the 23rd at 3:30 in the afternoon. I think we've changed our venue again. I don't know if the last message to you was Ithaca Town Hall, but I believe that's where we have settled now. We were going to do it in the conference room of the health department.
Yeah, right.
Which is a difficult room.
It's
and
your honor.
We've canvassed again, and I think we're going to be doing it in the town of Ithaca, the large room there.
But it's still the same time?
3:30 to 6 next Tuesday at Town Hall. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, County Attorney?
No report.
Thank you. County Finance Director?
I wanted to report that we got the second month of sales tax in, and we're starting to see a little trend, perhaps. There was a positive growth in sales tax over last year. It was modest, 1.8% over last year for the month of February. And that sort of looks like it may be in tune with what everybody's saying about retail is suddenly awakening, though ever slightly, that they've been showing year-to-date comparisons of retail activity being positive for the first time. So perhaps that's a good sign, though I have to temper it by saying that we did estimate that sales tax would grow by 3%, and at this point in time, after 2 months, we're probably, we haven't grown 3%. We're probably close to breaking even, but about that. And the other thing I want to point out, I have here, because you did pass tonight the resolution about the Local Development Corporation, but I would say, because the New York State Legislature is the model for corporate governance, in their wisdom of best practices, they passed the Public Authorities Accountability Act. And so the members of our local development corporations, IDAs, tobacco corporations, are being treated like children. And we'll have to now sign acknowledgments that they're responsible individuals. You have a corporate governance accountability document you'll have to sign saying that you recognize that you're a fiduciary. The thing that really I find really amusing, though, is that they want these local development corporations, the Tompkins Tobacco Asset Securitization Corporation, to create a mission statement. So the mission statement could be, thank you for smoking.
I'm in favor of that.
Well, thank you for your perspective, David. Appreciate that. Jim?
I love it when Squires breaks a new material.
Thank you, David. All right, we're finally to resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda. Are there any? No. Okay, then on the consent agenda, we will start. Resolution A, increase in membership dues for New York Public Welfare Association, Department of Social Services. Resolution B, and there's a revised budget adjustments, various departments. Resolution C, authorizing supplemental consultant agreement with CNS Engineers for obstruction lighting, design and bidding services, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution D, authorizing supplemental consultant agreement with CNS Engineers for obstruction lighting, part-time construction observation, and administrative services at the Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution E, authorizing supplemental consultant agreement with CNS Engineers for aircraft parking apron expansion, environmental design and bidding services at the Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution D, no, wait a minute, Resolution F, I'm sorry, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration FAA grant to provide design bidding, construction observation, and contract administration services for an obstruction lighting project. To construct an obstruction lighting project and for environmental design and bidding services in relation to an aircraft parking apron expansion, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution G, award of bid construct obstruction lighting project, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution H, authorization coming off. Okay. Resolution I, This is the last consent. Appointment of temporary Board of Assessment Review hearing members to serve on administrative hearing panels. Kathy, you want that off?
No.
Oh.
I do.
Okay. Off. All right. And appointments I have. Alan Teeter to the Soil and Water Conservation District. Aaron Hall Rhodes to the Board of Health. Eric Banford to the Environmental Management Council. Planning Advisory Board, Pam Mackesy. Regional Forest Practice Board, Pat Pryor, Carol Chalk. Water Resources Council, Carol Chalk. Ithaca Downtown Partnership, isn't that the Ithaca Downtown Alliance? Downtown Ithaca Alliance, whatever it's called. Leslie McBean, Claire Bourne Delegate, Frank Proto, Alternate. And the Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, Dave McKenna. Is there a motion for the consent agenda? Kathy moves, Frank seconds. All in favor of the consent agenda? Any opposed? Thank you, those are passed. All right, let us go to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam Mackesy, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Planning Committee met on the 3rd of March. We had a very efficient meeting because pretty much everything we talked about that day we passed along and to the legislature tonight, and most of that is being, we are hoping, will be passed tonight. We all sighed with relief when we passed on to the legislature the Local Development Corporation bylaws. And then we had a report from Jackie Kipola on the programs, some of the programs that the tourism money is providing us. The committee meets again on the 7th of April. I have a couple of resolutions. I believe I have one resolution left. No, two. Resolution J, resolution urging the New York State Legislature to support the state's Farmland Protection Program and Environmental Quality Fund, Protection Fund. And I so move.
Frank seconds. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Is any opposed? That's 13. That's unanimous.
Okay. Resolution K. I would like to point out that there was one mistake in that resolution, and so before I move it, I'd just like to cross it out, is that in the next to the last resolve, it refers to NYSERDA grant award on behalf of Tompkins County and TCAT. And TCAT should not be there. That should be crossed out.
So line 30, cross out and TCAT?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
I'd like to move acceptance of a New York State Energy Research and Development Authority grant to establish a countywide rideshare program, Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council, and I so move.
It's been moved and Pat seconds. Any discussion? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All set?
Yep.
Thank you, Pam. Then the complete count census committee.
Okay. Well, we had an exciting 2 weeks here. We had our kickoff at the library last Wednesday, at which we had, I believe it was in 12 different languages, the phrase "Everyone counts in Tompkins County" was spoken by many of the ESL students who attend the BOCES ESL program. It was great. We had Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, Vietnamese, Burmese, Karen, Korean. It was this wonderful mix. And then Natasha Tall, who was a high school language teacher, spoke the phrase in French. And what was her other language? German.
Spanish.
Spanish. It was Spanish and French. That's right. Anyway, it was a great event. There was a lot of interest and a lot of press. We had a news clip on WVMG that night, so that was great. just wanted to let you know that Kevin and the people from the Census Bureau have been hard at work distributing literature. They distributed 1,500 quarter flyers, have been on Cornell campus. They contacted 180 businesses, received all of the information, email, and other pieces of literature that we had. They have translated the local leaflet for the census into 9 different languages. They have targeted areas of the county where these languages are spoken. They have been able to identify them, and they are going to be distributing literature in those areas. So we are down to some serious detail work here. We also have, of course, this major effort going on in College Town. We have working through the landlords. We have sent emails out for them to send to their tenants. We have the off campus housing from Cornell working. It's just this huge number of people that are focusing on what's happening here. So we are very excited by what has been accomplished and what will be accomplished in the next couple of weeks. We're hoping to get the towns and other municipalities, the villages, interested in helping us celebrate April 1st, which, of course, is Census Day on a national basis. And so we are trying to enlist them in having some kind of display, having some kind of event or something in municipalities across the county so that people, to draw awareness still closer to the fact that we have this very important census that's taking place.
Thank you, Pam. Kathy.
I just have a comment or a question for Pam. I really appreciated your reference earlier to competition, and I think it's healthy. In that vein, I'm told that there is a link available where we can keep track of various municipalities' response to the census. I was thinking that might be kind of dandy.
Well, the Census Bureau is actually, we are going to be able to track the returns in the county. It's not up yet, and so I think by our next meeting, we should have a pretty good, begin to get a sampling of the response rate that we're getting from among the municipalities in the county, and perhaps we can talk this up a little bit among them to see if there's any interest.
I have an interest in friendly wagers with other municipalities, so maybe we can think as Tompkins County of a way to encourage and support individual municipalities
in their efforts.
I might wear a City of Ithaca sweatshirt, for example, if City of Ithaca was going to surpass its census numbers or some other way of encouraging people.
I think that's a great idea, and I would encourage anybody who has an idea like that and who wants to help work on it, they should step forward and we can help get them started.
Thank you, Kathy. Frank?
Got a quick one. Pam, while some of us around this table appreciate that the village of Trumansburg is designated red for a different reason, I think it's important to recognize that Jim Dennis was supposed to leave about 7 o'clock because he had census forms that he was giving out with the village election going on out there. That was supposed to be an inducement to come and vote tonight, right, Jim?
No, Frank, it's 20 of 9. So I'm just noting. All right, anything else? Thank you, Pam.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Budget and Capital, Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Martha. Let me get right to revised resolution, which was in your red folder. And it's opposing proposed state budget cuts to community colleges and changes to the TAP program or tuition assistance program, and I would move that.
Kathy seconds. Any discussion? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Just let me run through a couple of things. In your red folder, I believe, take a check of the letter that the county administrator wrote to Senator Seward, Assemblywoman Senator Seward, and George Winner on the 25-cent increase in the mortgage tax, and that was dated March 15th. Joe, would it make sense to give a little update on the meeting with Barbara Lifton? Frank, Dooley, Joe, myself met with Barbara, the Assemblywoman, the other day. We had a variety of topics. The thing that made us happiest was that she was able to make a couple of phone calls, her staff, concerning the
grant.
The $800,000
Heal New York grant for the Lakeside.
Right, for the Lakeside. And it has been submitted to the controller's office, and we're hoping for some result from that, and that has severe budget implications for us as we're holding the bag on that one. That was some good news, and let me just say there, and no one did it, I guess it was because our meeting started so slowly. There is a basketball game Friday, 12:30, WCBS or CBS TV, first round for Cornell versus Temple. I can't let the meeting go without that. There is no budget committee meeting Monday. We have canceled it for lack of things to do right now, and I'm sure after the other meeting that we will be having, the retreat, things will kind of amp up in that area. So that will be my, unless there, there are some report, a conference call was made the other day with our labor negotiator on the road patrol, and I can say honestly, we're this much further ahead than we were the last time I reported to you.
And we'll take any progress we can.
That would conclude my report.
Thank you, Jim. Just a thought on the retreat. will we have a material to go out ahead of time?
Yes.
Okay. But it may come late because there's a planning committee meeting on Friday, so it might come after that. So it may get me emailed to you over the weekend or so. And public safety, Jim, I believe you are vice chair.
Public safety. I'm not.
Leslie, you vice chair?
I believe Leslie.
Sorry, thank you. Would you
Jim and I, we're twins. Public safety committee has not met since this last meeting. We'll meet again on the 5th of April. We meet the first Monday at 3:30 in the afternoon. But I do want to take this opportunity and echo sort of what Nathan was saying and some of what Jim said about just how busy our public safety men and women have been in the last couple of weeks with so much that's been going on in our community, and want to let them know that we as a body are always thinking about them. Our hats off to them for that difficult work of identifying bodies and rescuing people and informing parents and caregivers about their loss. I can't imagine the toll it takes on their own psyche, and want them to know that we are here supporting them. We understand, although we're not in it every day, we clearly do understand. So thanks, Nathan, for bringing it up, and thanks, Jim, for following up on some of the things that have been occurring in our little Tompkins County.
Thanks very much, Leslie. Thank you. Any questions on public safety? All right, WDIC.
WDIC will meet on the 24th, Wednesday after the retreat.
Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Froder, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are a couple of items on the agenda tonight, but let me highlight very quickly in the interest of time. The Human Services Coalition, and I want to thank Will Burbank for going this year. We try to spread this around a little bit. Occasionally we receive a FEMA, an emergency management grant, that has to be distributed to organizations that do food distribution. And Nathan did it last year, and I had a conflict. I was looking forward to doing it. Will bailed me out, and there were 14 agencies there that received a piece of $40,000, which was a very nice gesture on behalf of the feds. That worked out very well. The status of we hope that at the next meeting we'll be dealing with the revisions to the Board of Health bylaws. There's a couple more tweaks that we have to look at there. There's a resolution on our agenda tonight to opposing some of Governor Patterson's proposed cuts. It reflects, as Jim and Joe already reported, the meeting, some of the items we went over at the meeting with Barbara Lifton on Friday. Lisa Holmes brought us up to date on three grants. You may remember these. The Community Living Program, we received $25,000 in each of 2 years for the from the Federal Administration for Aging. Excuse me, this is for older adults that are at risk of being placed in nursing homes. I won't go through the entire description, but in order to keep them in their own homes, and there's an evaluation process. The second is a $50,000 grant. That's 50,000 times three. That's also coming from the administration regarding, and where we and Albany County are the two counties receiving this. This is with regard to long-term care services. If you remember, we were doing an outreach program to help people understand long-term care insurance. And some of this focuses on the non-medical needs of the older adults that are, in this case, 60 and older. And I won't go through the whole thing. And one very new one, and this is close to veterans, they're establishing a veterans-directed, and I have to read this, home and community-based services program. And this is to help veterans get some home care services. You'll be hearing a little bit more about this. Lisa didn't have all of the details yet, but we're one of the counties that was selected to do this for veterans, and it ought to be pretty exciting. Again, I won't go through the entire list in the interest of time, but I want to mention three items. A couple of two meetings back, I mentioned that the Women's Tompkins Community Action had applied for a grant to build additional housing for women in recovery from drug and alcohol abuse, and they received the $2.7 million grant. So it's supposed to be there'll be 14 new units attached to the Chartwell House. And Lee is extremely overjoyed. That was the one that we weren't sure about. The second is a quick report. Bear with me, Martha, please. On the drug collection, remember the medication collection program at TCAT? It took place on the 6th, went real well. The results were very interesting. There were 509 individuals that came through either by car, truck, bike, motorcycle, or pedestrian. And they each were asked to complete a survey on where they're from in the county, how they heard about the event. The Ithaca Journal will be very happy with this statistic. 68% heard about it through the newspaper. The rest were spread on other media. But another interesting one was, what would you have done with these medications if you hadn't delivered them here? 56% said they'd hold them. 26% said they'd probably throw them in the trash, which is what we wanted to avoid. And about 10% said they'd flush them down the drain, which is what, that was the one we were really after, to keep them out of the water system. I won't go through every single town, but one of the questions was, what part of the county are you from? And, of course, the largest percentage, about 29%, came from the city of Ithaca, followed immediately by the town of Ithaca. But I don't know what you have going on, Mike, in the town of Dryden, but you were the third, the town of Dryden was the third highest place where people were coming from. They must use a lot of drugs in Dryden, or have a lot of unused drugs in Dryden, because it was the third highest location from which people came.
They're very ecologically oriented in Dryden.
But it was good that they held on to them, so that they weren't flushing them down the drain. There was a percentage. I have a very colorful report here, which is very nice. There was a lot of interest in doing this again, by the way. It was a good, it went very well, even though, if you remember, it rained like mad part of that day and snowed. One last plea, and then I'll be quiet. We need one more. David, thank you for stepping forward. Jim, thank you for stepping forward and picking up a couple of liaison assignments for Health and Human Services. We need one more to fill for COFA, the County Office for the Aging. If you have an interest, please let me know. I'd like to, Michelle would like to, she's made me a bet, and I'd like to get this one filled. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. You have two resolutions.
Two resolutions.
O and P.
Opposing, the first one is opposing Governor Patterson's proposed cuts in funding for local health departments. I'd like to move that.
Will seconds. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Peter, did you have your hand up before?
I did, yes.
Okay. Excuse me, Frank.
I hate to prolong this, but there's something that's been bothering me about this drug disposal thing. The goal is to keep it out of the wastewater.
Right.
And that sounds like a good goal, but what happens if I take a pill? If I take an antibiotic, doesn't it end up in the wastewater?
I think your body metabolizes.
I won't describe the path, but
okay.
I don't believe that the time that it spends in the body, it breaks it all down and transforms it into carbon and hydrogen.
Jim, I'm going to defer to my colleague,
Human Health and Human Services, to discuss and bring back one pager on.
Okay, resolution P, so to speak.
Appropriation. I'm sorry, Jim. Appropriation from contingent for replacement payment, mental health department, and I'd like to move that.
Seconded by Pat, and this is a short form roll call. Are there any questions, discussion? Okay.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Ferreira?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Jim.
All
Thank
right.
you, Peter.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Leslie McBean Claiborne, Vice Chair.
And Vice Chair.
Did I say Chair?
Yes.
It's all right. I'll take anything.
It is way too late.
F and I met on March 5th. We had a number of things that we talked about. I want to give you some of the highlights. This might not to be a little long-winded. We got a report about Brown Road. Most of you had heard before that we were experiencing some issues with the construction project at Brown Road related to the floor tiles. That issue continues. we have to remove all of the tiling and re-prepare the floor to be re-tiled at this point. So that's going to delay sort of the move date, finish date, by about 2 or 3 months. We thought it's something that could be easily fixed. At this point, a report from Arel as well as Ed indicate that the installation folks are pointing at the manufacturing folks, and they're pointing at the installation folks. Everybody's pointing fingers, but according to our county attorney, if the Armstrong will not replace the tile, then we'll just have to do the work and we'll recoup our costs by any means necessary. Go get them, Jonathan. So it's a lot of work to be done. There's still, it's about 35 to 55% of the floor tiles that are just raising up, and that's not good work. It is going to affect our lead credit just a little bit. It's one lead credit because those tiles were supposed to be for lead certification. There are other areas that will still help us to maintain our lead status, and that's a good thing. Red Mill Road Bridge, so this is Dooley's favorite. Ed Marks let us know that they had a discussion with a consultant. It was suggested an alternative approach to NYSDOT was to go to the last report submitted to them and see if they'd allow the county to make a decision not to proceed rather than submitting a new detailed design on that road. So that's an alternative approach that we are considering. Solid waste, we did a lot of discussion on solid waste, and it's always interesting to hear these numbers. Barbara Ekstrom, the director of the Solid Waste Center, had indicated or anticipated that it'll be about a $500,000 revenue loss due to a drop in the commodities market in 2009. However, the actual loss was about $335,000. That was a good thing. She had cut some of our operating expenses already by about $200, anticipating that there'll be a revenue loss. There is also a proposal out for we have been working with waste management, and there's a new proposal that's going out, sent out in a draft request for proposals for our hauler. To go out. We looked at that. There is one of the things of note that she told us about is the new Solid Waste Management Act that is moving forward with new laws that are entitled Beyond Waste. It is expected, this plan is expected to be submitted by March of 2011. The main portion of it being the Recycling Solid Waste Center would have to how the center will handle materials, so that's part of the plan. The goal is to reach 75% diversion by 2015. Let me see what else that might have been of important. Pine Tree Road, I know that resolution was pulled, I think. You all should have received somewhere on your desk a map. Did everybody get that? For Pine Tree Road, and we'll get to that resolution in a minute. We talked about that. 2010 construction projects, we, for the highway department, this one sent me into a tizzy for some of it, that as well as snow and the ice report. We reviewed, one of the things that Bill says, and he let us know, is unusually the price for asphalt is up now. It's not something you see in the winter months. And it's usually, you know, during the construction season that he said it's up, went up by about $21 a ton. So in February it was $518, and now it's a little higher. Snow and ice removal. Report, we got a report that showed the cost for snow and ice removal is $20,000 per day, $6,500 per truck each round. The total to date is $162,532 for materials. This is what's been spent. $311,765 for equipment. That's the cost of the truck and staff. For a total of $474,297. This combined total, what we had budgeted for snow and ice removal was $395,000 for 2010. So if we do the math, in February or March of 2010, we have overspent our budget by a little under $100,000. So the bill is going to be working on a budget adjustment and see what needs to happen for us to bring that budget into balance. So we've had some little bit of snowfall that we can speak to for that, not a whole lot. The airport, moving on to the airport, there were a lot. Well, we heard the comments about Hanshaw Road. We did have some discussion about that, and John gave the presentation with some of the ideas. He told us there's some of the plan that will happen for Hanshaw Road. The airport, there was a number of resolutions that you passed on consent agenda. The bulk of our discussion for the airport was around the construction lighting project. Bob Nicholas, the airport manager, reported that it will be a monopole versus a lattice structure. Now, if you don't know what this is the pole that sort of sits that's above the tree line, so that pilots coming in, planes coming in, can have more of a clear shot, or it's a directional for where they're going, so they can land safely. They can avoid any objects. We had a large discussion around the orange and white painting of the pole, because it is strongly recommended by the FAA, strongly recommended that it be painted that color, so that regardless of the weather conditions, pilots can see that. So that's what it is that's going up there. Yep, that was the main thing. And then I have the resolution, I think, that was pulled from consent agenda. H was pulled off the agenda. I don't know if all the members of the committee had other things they wanted to add and the discussion that happened.
Kathy?
As well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Martha. This isn't exactly a question. I've served on facilities before. I've chaired it before. And I've followed the Hanshaw Road project. And I just want to say that I'm pleased that the highway department and the project managers moved forward the comment period to extend it. I wasn't really aware until tonight's public hearing of the extent still of the concerns around that project. So I think it served a really good purpose for me as a legislator, and I'm hoping that the Facilities Committee and the legislature will find ways to take into consideration some of the concerns raised.
Frank?
Just to piggyback on that lesson, Kathy and I were not comparing notes. Do you know what do we do next? How do we... Are we going to be able to incorporate any of those concerns that we heard tonight?
Well, from what I heard the chair of the legislature say tonight, is that all the comments and written documents and exhibits that people submitted...
Two weeks.
In addition to that, that they will be collected and passed on to staff and the people who are looking at all of this, and then I think they'll make a decision about what do we do with this information, because there were more comments we've heard tonight than I've heard over the last couple of years of being an F&I, a lot more. I've usually heard from Mr. Hutchinson, but not really anybody else, and so this was a lot more. And so we'll have to consider what to do with that information.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, I know that they're not going to build this year, so may be a little bit of time to process. It's great. I mean, I wish staff were here, and it's hard to speak without staff. But Peter,
I assume that what we're going to get is a response from staff on each of the comments that was made. Is that correct?
I don't know about each comment. I mean, I'm sure John will go through, and perhaps Bill and Ed. I don't know their level of involvement. I'm sure they'll go through everything. Leslie, do you want to comment?
I mean, I doubt there'll be a response to each of the comments, like you said, but I anticipate that as we consider this an F&I, that if there are things the staff might have already answered or have documentation around, they can say, this relates to this question, we met with such and such as relates to this one, so that there will be some response and some consideration of those comments for the public's sake.
Well, I heard something different at the hearing. Maybe I misheard, but I thought I heard that we were going to answer every comment made. Now, I think the answers to the comments could be duplicates in many cases, but that everybody would have the experience of seeing a response to his or her comments. And I'm a little concerned because, you know, there are, I don't know how many comments there were, 15, so if they're all the same, then it doesn't really add very much to answering them with whatever modification is necessary to make it right for that one. But there were, I heard a range of complaints about the competency of the way that the Public Works Department handled the business of figuring out where the right-of-ways were, and I'm hearing this for the first time, so I have no idea if there's any justification in it, but I would myself be much more comfortable if I could hear a response to each one, not necessarily long, but at least a response. They heard what they said, namely that the right-of-way is wrong with the right-of-way of use, whatever that may be, and that that's not the right place to measure it from or something like that. I'd like to see that stated. Exactly how are we calculating that right-of-way?
I'm going to ask Jonathan, would you want to comment on kind of what our legal responsibility is, and perhaps, and then in addition, what our practice might be in this case?
Sure. The legal responsibility isn't necessarily really to respond to each question, but as a result of all the comments, and if it's necessary to proceed with eminent domain, this body has to make findings. And as part of that, I would think you'd want some response to those, because you're going to make findings with respect when you're going to consider those comments. So in order to make findings, it would make sense to have response to comments that are raised at the public hearing. So if you kind of consider it in the context of your making findings as a result, then it sort of makes sense, the response to comments. So if you kind of put it in that context, I think it makes sense.
Okay, and I will say, in the document that I was given to read tonight, as specifically the directions of how this runs, as necessary, the county will provide written responses to comments received tonight. So that certainly doesn't indicate we will respond to everything. I will just speak from experience where the Ringwood Road Bridge, there was a bridge in my district, and there was in particular one family that was significantly affected. John Lampman worked with them over, a period of months, really, just with one family, to really work through their issues and, mm-hmm. and make sure that things were satisfactory. So, again, I was surprised by the comments that we got tonight, since we hadn't heard that come through the committee before. But it is hard to speak without staff here. But I hope that answers it a little bit. Mike, did I see your hand up?
No, you. My recollection is what you just said.
Okay. Okay. I mean, we'll go back to John and say,
exactly.
Tell us, talk to us. Okay, Peter?
Yeah, I'm not new to this controversy. I've been involved with Hanshaw Road, and I know and have spoken to many of the people that testified tonight, and I have my opinions on how seriously I take them, but I don't know all of the people, and it just raised a question in my mind as to how well that whole negotiation was handled. Now, it's quite conceivable that it was handled just fine and that these people are just complaining about things, but it's also conceivable to me that it wasn't. The last time I dealt with these Hanshaw Road people was when I was on the town board, and we were the ones that were handling the sidewalk, and the They started out pretty solidly against it, and not only me, but a lot of people spoke with a lot of people, and in the end, they came to accept the sidewalk as probably a good thing, and I thought that that whole lengthy experience was a good thing. So I was surprised to hear the same people that had complained before and then sort of were satisfied now complaining about something. Of course, it's something different. It's a different issue this time. So anyway, if I have to vote, I would be a whole lot happier voting for this if I felt that we had seriously addressed the comments that they made tonight.
I'm sure we'll hear more from John before we need to actually vote ourselves. Anything else, Leslie, on your...
I have Resolution 8.
Okay, what is it?
Authorization to execute a contract with Barton and... Can somebody help me with that word?
Legudis.
PC for design services, Pine Tree Road Bike and Pedestrian Paths, Town of Ithaca. So move.
Is there a second? Pat? Any comments? This was the map that Leslie referred to. Frank?
Yeah. Thank you. Leslie, I'm the one that asked that this be pulled.
Mm-hmm.
On the map, first, the area that this resolution is dealing with, is that the little squiggle in red that goes through the box?
The little red squiggle on the right that goes through the box? I do believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's the
I'm looking
red
at my map, yes.
South. It's not the little red piece that crosses it through, the main red piece.
Well, actually, I believe it does include, that's the railroad trestle, and that's going to be dealt with. I think it's...
This is the trestle right below where the PNC is. As you go right down from Judd Falls, and you come up to the stop sign and the lights facing the Synchrotron Hill, right? Okay. Does it entail, notice the green horizontal line that says existing railway corridor,
mm-hmm.
bike pedestrian trail? That looks like it exists already. It's a little heavier green. And then there's a dotted extension, the proposed trail extension.
Right.
For 2009. Does that part of the trail, A, exist, B, the work that Barton and Legudis are doing does not include that part of the trail at this point?
Frank, I do not know the answer to that question. I don't know if anyone else on the committee has that answer.
Well, if you look at the lower left-hand corner, this was a map dated June 26, 2008. My understanding is that grayish trail that goes from Game Farm Road towards Varna is... a Cornell kind of initiative. It's Cornell land, and I believe that was sort of part of their transportation enhancement project. Perhaps with the economic conditions, they kind of pulled back on that, but that's a future, an idea for the future. The red part of Pine Tree or Judd Falls, whatever, I'm not sure we've exactly, it's Pine Tree, okay. The issue, with the trestle is that, I mean, this is kind of my neighborhood. The trucks, certain size trucks, cannot go under that trestle, so end up going on Game Farm or even farther out. So it's been a long time goal to remove that trestle, put something higher in, but replace it with something that will be a pedestrian trail that continues that corridor. And then eventually the plan is to continue through to campus.
Okay.
I believe. Brian?
Can I just ask, I realize this is just to execute a contract for the design phase, but all this stuff, it appears, started to come into the planning stages in 2008, 2009, something like that. Do we have any idea, or can you tell me, what sort of money we're looking at? For the project?
I can't remember what the total, do you remember?
I don't remember what it is either.
I know this is a grant they received.
Right. I don't know what the total amount is.
Well, that was going to be part B to my question. So.
Yeah, it's specifically a proposal they wrote, the planning and ITCTC wrote, and received federal money for it.
Okay. Rookie question.
No, it's a good question. Carol?
Well, you mean the planning part or the
whole project?
The whole
project. I believe the whole project. Carol?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm and so spoke briefly with Bill Sesney about the exact location of this, and he confirmed for me that this was Pine Tree Road. There's been some confusion because people, that portion of the road used to be called Judd Falls Road, and
right, we
it is now Pine Tree Road. It is runs along one side, and this, that whole area, which I drive fairly frequently, and which neighborhood residents walk to get to campus, is a particularly dangerous area for bicyclists and pedestrians. That's where the road narrows. So he led me to believe that was the area of concern for this resolution tonight, was the portion along Pine Tree Road, and did not mention the extension.
Right,
the
that's not part
extension.
Of this.
So it's, I don't believe that's part of this.
Just Pine Tree Road.
Call a question.
Is there a second to call a question, Jim? All those in favor of ending debate by calling a question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 2. So 11-2. All right, time to vote on this one. All in favor, please. Resolution H, raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Leslie, anything else for the good of the order?
No.
All right, thank you. So it looks like I'm up, Capital Plan Review Committee. We met, we talked, we're going to meet again. Next meeting is April 8th. Gary Ferguson from Downtown Ithaca Alliance will be coming. We'll talk about thoughts about joint city and county office space, perhaps, and it's interesting proposal that he's got in his strategic plan for the Downtown Ithaca Alliance. And we will have some discussion on the jail as well, short-term, longer-term needs for the public safety building. So, any questions? All right, government operations, Mike.
We had a brief meeting before this one to consider the broadband resolution, and we meet again on Thursday the 18th at 9:30.
Thank you, and resolution R was taken off the consent agenda. That is yours.
I'm sorry, which one?
Resolution I, the Board of Assessment Review.
Oh, I'll move the appointment of temporary Board of Assessment Review hearing members to serve on administrative hearing panels. Sorry.
Jim seconds. Who took this off?
I did.
Leslie?
Okay. I did. I just wanted to pull it off so that I can have a recorded no vote on the resolution. Partly because every year I would say that I ask the same question about what outreach are we doing, how are we getting the members, and not that I have anything against the people who are serving right now, but I'm looking for more of how are we advertising for people to be able to serve. Maybe nobody wants to, but I'm just interested in finding out how we're doing that. I ask the same question, I don't get the answer.
Kathy?
I think Leslie raises a good point, and wonder if we couldn't, the same way that we have advisory board vacancies, have a way of notifying the legislature far enough in advance that we could work, since Jay and his office can't actively do it, to find people with the skill sets that are needed and to do some outreach. But we kind of need, I know from experience that I have good intentions right now, but I might not remember in January, so maybe we could get some help to have that put on the list of board vacancies and in time so that we could get on it next year, because I share Leslie's concerns.
Michelle, thank you, Kathy. Michelle periodically sends us out a list like that. It seems like we got one recently. Okay. She's the keeper of those lists, so she heard what you said. That's good. I think people can periodically look at that list and scour for community appointments. Mike?
Nothing wrong with outreach like that, but we have to remember that these folks are pretty specialized qualifications for the assessment review.
Mm-hmm. And that I recognize.
Anything else on this?
Well, I just want to clarify. I don't know if it was understood that what I was asking for is that we'd be reminded about this in sufficient time to recruit somebody, which might be January. And I know it's trouble, but it would be different than the one that comes out in March. So I just want to be specific about that request because I'm not sure that that was articulated or understood.
Michelle, has this been, it's a long list. Has this been on that list before? Okay. Oh, we'll add it to that list.
And
I think we do get that list in January.
Great.
Yeah, so as well as recently. Anything else? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Two opposed, so that is 11-2, it passes. Anything else, Mike?
That's all.
Thank you very much. All right, minutes of the previous meeting, March 2nd, they were in your packet. Frank moves them. The second. Minutes, or a second for the minutes? Will seconds, all right. Yes, Carol.
I have a correction that I did hand in, but it was substantive, so that anybody who's referring to this, it was in my remarks under privilege of the floor, but
page?
Oh, gosh, it's on page 3. People can see when they come out again the actual rewrite, but nobody should misunderstand that our one-stop center is not closing. So I just want people to understand that. There'll be a correction.
Okay.
So,
with so that correction, are the changes substantive?
I see. Okay.
Well,
that's the last line. The negotiating position is asking people to take up a 50% rate hike or lose their job by the closing of the job center.
Pat Pryor had pointed out that the whole paragraph didn't make sense, and I submitted a rewrite. The substantive part of that I just wanted people to note is that our one-stop center is not closing.
Okay. We got it. I think we got it, right, Leslin?
I also have a change on page 2 that I will submit, and it's under my remarks as well. The first paragraph in the middle of the page, Mrs. Nadine Clearborn announced March as Women's History Month and noted Tompkins County is a community of color. She announced March as Women's History Month. There's something not gelling in there. I don't remember ever saying Tompkins County is a community of color. I knew the statement that I made, and so I'll offer that correction. It's a community that includes people of color.
Thank you. It was hard to hear you.
It's a community that includes people of color, and it didn't have anything to do with the Women's History Month celebration. So
okay,
that
I
whole
think
paragraph is needs fixing.
Okay, I think people would accept if you wanted to give
I'll
language
fix it
to Kathy.
And I'll turn it in.
So with that understood, Brian?
Just one thing, and you're my witness that I was reading this stuff today earlier, but I don't remember adjourning the meeting prior to getting out of executive session.
I made a comment, and I'm going to submit that. Right, the meeting returned to open session at 9:36, and then we adjourned the meeting at 9:24. Whichever is the right time, they will fix that. And that will be addressed. So, can we go to the minutes? All in favor of the minutes? Please raise your hand. As amended and intended to be amended. Any opposed? Jim, you're opposed.
I am.
All right. We have a motion to adjourn.
No, you wanted an executive session.
Yes, true. All right. Can I have a motion to go into executive session to talk about real estate negotiations? Jim, Peter, seconds.
So
at 9:28, we're going into executive session. I really think this is not worth a break. We can just take, don't go away. We'll shut the cameras down. This won't take long. Okay? So we're in executive session. Shuffle your papers while Jim and...